How would you complete this sentence? I am really glad I... Okay. Actually, you could... Yeah, that fireplace is working really well down there. Okay. Now, each one of you are going to complete that sentence differently. But here's my challenge to you. Most of us are going to answer that, complete that sentence in a way that reminds you of some decision you've made that you're thankful for, or reminds you of a time where you experienced joy, pleasure, happiness. It's going to remind you of those moments in life when things were good. Now, my father has been gone for almost 30 years, and he passed away a week before Christmas. And a Christmas doesn't go by where I don't think of him in one way or another. And even with that memory, I can still say, I am really glad I had him as a father. I am really glad of the values and the things that he taught me that I still hold to today. In fact, I have family relations that say, you remind us of your dad. And for me, that's a compliment. That's not an insult. But for some of us, we might answer, I am really glad I finished my degree and didn't drop out of school. Or maybe, I'm really glad I met you and the friendship that we've enjoyed all these years. Some of you might complete that sentence by saying, I'm really glad I said yes when you asked me to marry you. Some of you might be saying, I'm really glad I said yes to taking care of the grandkids on Fridays. And Fridays have never been the same, right? So it's one of those sentences that one of those phrases that I happen to think, I happen to call it a joy generator. That whenever you take a moment to answer that or complete that sentence, it generates in your life a moment of joy. Now, the dictionary defines joy as this great pleasure, happiness, all of those kinds of things. But I think of joy in a little different way. I think of joy as a spark that kind of lights a fire in your heart. It's a fire that reminds you that life is good. It's a fire that reminds you that whatever I'm experiencing in this moment is really good. Or, I am blessed because of what I'm experiencing right now. It reminds me that right now I don't want the moment to end. I want it to last forever. There are times in our lives that we want time to stand still, to never go away. That if you had the power to say, I want to live in this moment forever, that you would be quite satisfied to do that. My heart right now is really full. And I want this experience never, never to end. And it frames our experience in a way that lifts us up, that makes us glad to be in the moment. And it's really powerful. Now, I want to ask you, when it comes to Christmas, when it comes to this time of year, if I was to ask you what you know of the wise men, what would you say? Do we know where they're really from? No. Do we know what their names were? I know we have traditions. Do you know how many there actually were? A lot of mystery around the wise men. But do you know that the Bible tells us something about them that's really definitive? That is so unique to the wise men that I think God wanted to communicate this particular truth to us in a way that we never forgot it. Because in the scripture, it describes something about the wise men that each and every one of us in the most blessed times of our lives, we know what that's like. And the passage that got read during the Advent, and which is the week that we're enjoying in terms of the Advent theme, is the theme of joy. This is the passage that got read earlier, is the one of the wise men out of Matthew. Are we able to get that passage up? Thank you. So after this interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Now, look at this next sentence. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Now, what's interesting about that particular sentence is in the Greek, it actually says, they rejoiced with joy greatly and exceedingly. Like, it has these adjectives that are piled on to describe, you know, the moment that the wise men saw the star again, and they were so consumed with joy that it was exceeding, it was great. It's the most descriptive and most excessive description of joy in the entire Bible. Nothing else gets this much descriptors attached to it for an emotion that these wise men felt. We may not know a whole lot about the wise men. We may not know names and numbers and all kinds of stuff, but what we do know is when they saw the star, when it took them to Bethlehem, they were overcome with joy. That if you said to them in that moment, what is it that you're excited about? They would be able to say, we see the star. We've been waiting for this for a long time. We know where it's going to lead us. We know what it's going to do for us. We know what this means. Maybe nobody else is, you know, 100% sure what this means, but we do. And it makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. And I've been in those situations where people are overjoyed by the circumstances that they find themselves in. And it's like exciting to watch. And you know, in that moment, if you could plug into it, you could just enjoy it along with them. That joy is this contagious thing. And don't you think we need a little bit of joy in our world? Yes. Just a little bit, you know? Yeah. Joy is experienced with the promise of a Messiah that the wise men see coming. Biblical joy isn't based on circumstances. It's based on a promise that is strong enough to outlast the darkness. That's what the wise men saw. Now, I've had the privilege of having kids. Well, my wife had the and grandkids. But we've all, if you have been a parent or if you've been a grandparent, you've had the ultrasound moment, right? Where you see the ultrasound, right? Why are you experiencing joy in that moment when it hasn't even happened yet? What's so joyful about that moment? Parents feel joy simply because of the promise of life. You start painting the nursery, you start, you know, names, you start projecting names. I don't know how many times I've been in a room and it's like, so what names are you thinking? Oh, we have a list. And if it's a girl, we have a list. If it's a boy, we have a list. You've been in those moments, right? And been in those moments when you're going to be a grandparent for the very first time. And the kids come and show you the ultrasound, right? What do you feel in that moment? That is kind of the descriptor of what the wise men are experiencing. Because it's a promise of life. And the promise of life brings joy. The promise of life. Joy interrupts when God invades the ordinary. The shepherds were doing their work, doing what they do every day. And when the angels appeared to them, that's what they communicated. Communicated peace, they communicated hope, and they communicated joy. That's why we celebrate these themes during the Christmas season. Because the people in the original story of Christmas experience all those things that we celebrate in the Advent every time Christmas comes around. They had a hopeful future. They saw the peace that it would bring. Not peace in the terms of the world turmoil, but peace of what happens inside of ourselves. I am far more convinced that until we have peace inside of ourselves, we will never have peace out there.
That's right.
Never. Because it's the turmoil and the chaos inside that really sparks the conflict that we have in our world today. And God invades in the ordinary. I think it's such a beautiful thing that we celebrate a baby born in the humblest of circumstances at a time when the world itself was in turmoil. We have no idea how much we sanitized the Christmas story. Just how dirty it was. Just how conflict-ridden it was. You saw that Herod in the play really wanted the baby, but not in the way that... You know, it was all about harm. It was all about power, authority. Okay? Joy is often found in the road that is unplanned when God invades. How many of us have expected things and then God does something in our lives and we just stand back and go, man, what a difference. God showed up. And joy doesn't stay silent, okay? I remember when I was in seminary, and I had a wonderful theology teacher and professor. He's passed away just recently, actually. And I remember him struggling with the song "Silent Night," because really, when you read the story, it was anything but silent. There was a lot of, the baby's born. If you read about the shepherds, they go through the town screaming and yelling, like, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'm not sure. It was quite a silent night. The angels, you know, were, sky was lit up, angels proclaiming stuff, you know. And same with the wise men. In fact, they went to Jerusalem, to the worst place possible, to proclaim that they were looking for a king. They were that excited about going to find Jesus. Which tells us that joy leads us to worship. The wise men rejoicing in what they were about to experience when they arrived, when they saw the reality, when they came face to face, and everything that they had hoped for brought them to a place of worship. Worship isn't a surrender of sadness. It is a surrender to joy. It is a surrender to gladness. It is a surrender to hope, to peace, to joy, and in fact, to love. All of those are expressed in this. And because of that, joy becomes contagious. Let me ask you again. How would you end the sentence, "I am really glad I"? If you were the wise men, or one of the wise men, how would you answer that question? How would you expect them to answer that question? Everyone who encountered Jesus responded in a way that brought hope, peace, and joy into their lives because they recognized that this just wasn't any other baby, that this was the Son of God, that this was going to change the world, that this was going to make a difference in people's lives. And that's what we come together at Christmas. We come together at Christmas knowing that Jesus has made a difference to the world that we live in. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. May you be blessed this Christmas. May you remember why we celebrate this time of year. And may it bring you hope, peace, joy. And may it bring you love as we talk about love next week. I'm actually flabbergasted. I'm sitting up here and it's quarter to 11. Like, this is one of the fastest services I think we've ever had. You know? We should bring the kids back out to do an encore. Okay? Listen, we're gonna be done a little earlier today. I think I'm gonna invite the worship team to come up and to do the last song, and do an extended version of the Christmas song, right? But I am so glad you're here. I'm so glad you ventured out, all of that kind of stuff. I think we've been really blessed today with what we've witnessed and all of that stuff. And by the way, I'm just going to do a really quick announcement for those of you. We have a course coming in January, Understanding the Bible from Context to Application. Unfortunately, the course is all full already. Okay, we have over 40 people that are signed up for the course. So if you've missed it out, hopefully we're going to redo it again sometime in the future. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know as a public service announcement if you wanted to take that course, okay? God bless you, everybody. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Amen.